Hey gang, welcome to this episode of Under the Log, the podcast where we talk to men and women who recently completed GORUCK events. In this episode, we talk to Dawn Fontana about her recent Battle of the Bulge Tough. Y'all, Dawn is no joke. I mean, you might be tough, but I'm going to put my money on Dawn that she's probably tougher. Listen in and find out how this high school trombone player grew up to be one heck of an endurance athlete. Dawn's a ton of fun to talk to, and I think you're going to love this episode. Hey, would you like some help training for an upcoming GORUCK event? We at the Rucking Collective put together a free resource for the community at ruck.training. On the site, we offer free training guides for the GORUCK Heavy, Tough, and Light, now Basic. The guides can be used as written or modified to accommodate your own training needs and goals. Tons of men and women have used these guides to prepare for GORUCK events, and so if you'd like a free guide, visit us at ruck.training today. But with that, let's get on to our interview with Dawn. All right, well, Dawn, thank you so much for joining us here on the Under the Log podcast. You know, I typically connect with people online. You know, I'll put out, you know, who's done an event recently, and connected with you and on Instagram, and was looking at your headline there on your profile, and it says don't follow me, I do stupid shit. And with that, like, there's a couple hundred people that were like, oh yeah, I'm totally following this girl. So if you could tell us, I guess by way of introduction, so we can get to know you a little bit, have you always done stupid stuff, or is this new? And like, what sort of stupid stuff do you do?
Sure. Well, the endurance stupid stuff, that's kind of new. That's been in the past, you know, 5 or 6 years. I do everything from GORUCK events to Spartan events, ultra marathons, long distance triathlons. I've done many, many GORUCK events. I participated in Spartan's Death Race back in 2019, though I did not finish. I've done some survival events. I'm really just all over the place. A few Ironman distance triathlons. Took on the 4-4-48 challenge for my birthday weekend last year. So all sorts of stupid shit.
Oh, that's the 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours?
Yes.
How'd that go?
The running was surprisingly not that bad. The second overnight was super tough.
Yes.
Yeah. You have enough time to get a little bit of rest. But the second, I think it was the second 1 a.m. that we did was kind of brutal. That was the one we walked the whole time. We didn't run that one.
Okay.
But it was a great experience. I would do it again, but probably not anytime super soon because it's hard.
So, I'm interested in all this stupid stuff. Like, because there's some overlap, but there's definitely some differences. Like a triathlon is definitely different than just like an ultra versus a death race. Like of all these, is there one that you would say is like, man, that was straight up the hardest thing I've ever done?
Oh, the heart. Yeah. You know what? They're hard in different ways.
Yeah.
Like I did an event, that Spartan puts on. They haven't put it on in a few years, called Agogi. It's kind of a rucking / survival event. And we were awake for about 2.5 days for that. Ooh. We started on a Friday morning and we finished on a Sunday evening, and we had 15 minutes of sleep. So that was mentally and physically a super tough event. And we didn't know when it was going to end. So.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
That I don't even really have a category for that. That's you. That all does just definitely qualifies as stupid stuff.
Absolutely.
So like, what got you into this? Like, Have you always been kind of the type of person that's like pushing the physical envelope? Because I mean, that's certainly what you're doing. Like, is that like, did you grow up playing sports and that was kind of your MO or what?
No, believe it or not, no. I played some softball when I was younger, but throughout, you know, middle and high school, I was in band, but I was in marching band, which is kind of physical.
Yeah. What would you play?
I played the trombone.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Continue.
Yeah. Yeah. So I played the trombone, but so for me, you know, I don't like to do the same thing everyone else is doing. So I think that's kind of what led me into the Go Ruck and the Spartan and all the different things. I started running probably about 11 years ago. And every time I did a run, I was like, well, now what? You know, I ran a 5K, so now what? And well, I ran a marathon, so now what? Oh, triathlon? Okay, let's do that. So I'm always looking for, you know, another way to challenge myself and push myself.
That's awesome. I love that. Just, you know, you check one thing off the box and it's like, you know, it's so easy, I think, to say, okay, well, now that's what I do. Like, I run 5Ks. But to look for that next thing, that next challenge, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So obviously, Go Ruck has been a part of this journey. I saw on Instagram that you've done some heavies, HTL, earn those bolts at Extortion 17 event. Like how many events have you done and like, what's the gambit of those?
I've done, 30 something Go Ruck events, probably 33, 34. It's, you know, kind of hard to keep count sometimes. I've got,
yes.
You know, I have the patch board going, but I've got, you know, this patch here and that patch there. Mm-hmm. But when I started with the lights. I did like three lights in a row. And then I was like, ooh, what about a tough light? Okay, now what about a heavy? But I've done, I mean, pretty much everything. I got my bolts, of course.
Nice.
I got to do the second Beta Constellation several years ago, which was super cool.
Mm-hmm.
I did immersion, the 6 and the 12 immersion.
Now immersion, like, that has such a short Go Ruck life. Like,
oh my gosh, yeah.
But for those who don't know, and correct me if I'm wrong, immersion was basically like, we're going to pretend that you were in a plane that like crashed over the ocean. And now we're just going to like put you in the water for like 12 hours, like something like that.
Yes. Yes, it sure was. But, you know, immersion was super cool. The 6-hour event was more like you crashed in the ocean and you're in there the whole time. The 12-hour event, we got to do some raft building. We did quite a big bit of, you know, first aid and safety stuff. But ultimately, yeah, it was like you had crashed into the ocean. We got taught how to make a flotation device out of our pants.
Oh yeah.
How to make a raft out of our rucks. So it was really interesting. And
yeah.
We got super lucky at the event I did. There was the 12 hour, there was only 6 participants and we had 3 cadre. So,
oh my gosh.
We learned so much at that event. It was really cool.
Yeah.
And it was literally cool because I kind of got hypothermia.
Oh gosh. So. Yikes. That's not so enjoyable.
No, no.
Yeah. I guess, that's probably why it had such a short lifespan when you can only get 6 folks to come out and you got 3 cadre.
Yeah.
That's probably not going to work out too well.
And the really sad part was it was only 6 of us and we were in Jacksonville for it.
Oh yeah.
Like, so, you think, crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's fun to hear about. I actually haven't ever talked to anybody who did immersion. So that's cool to kind of hear a little bit about that. So, you know, having done so many events, you know, so many hard events, I mean, goodness gracious, even just the challenges that you've put yourself through outside of Go Ruck, Like what motivates you to sign up for a Goruck Tough anymore? Like a Tough almost seems like, you know, why not? Like what motivates you at this point?
I really enjoy the people that I do events with, both the people that I know, you know, this last event, several of us from our rec club down here in South Florida, Vice City Ruckers.
Hey, Vice City, come on.
Yeah. And you get to meet a lot of new people. So you almost never leave an event without making a new friend or two or three or four, you know? So that's what always brings me back are the people and the cadre as well, you know, not just our teammates.
Yeah. It's always so amazing. Like I was talking to a couple guys on another one of the podcasts, Larry and Larry, their father and son, and just talking about how this really cool bond that you form with people that you do events with. Like, you know, I had done an event with the younger Larry up here in Richmond, and you know, it's like there's just this bond that's formed. And so the next time I see him, I'm like, dude, it's you, Larry. Like, what's up? And I just think that's really special about these events, like the relationships that they form. And I think you have that advantage whenever you have folks that are nearby, like the things like ruck clubs begin to form. Because you've been through this adversity together and like this, there's just something that's forged there. And now you have a place to make that more regular. Has that kind of been the experience with Vice City?
Yeah, Vice City has been around for a little while, but a big way we brought new people in was from the events that we had in the South Florida area for sure.
Nice.
Both for training, you know, they would train with us and then do the event, or we met them at the event and then they became, you know, part of our group.
Nice. So do y'all have a pretty big ruck club down there?
Yeah. Sometimes we'll get 10 or 15 people at a time, sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little bit less.
Nice.
We've got several ruck clubs down here now, so.
Okay.
It kind of spreads out between all of them.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about Battle of the Bulge Tough that you did in particular. When you look at the event, like, you know, I think we can talk about things that are challenging and that are tough, but I think more than just tough, like what was memorable? Like whether it was a good memory or a bad memory, like when you look back and think on this event that you did, like what really comes to the forefront and you say, that's what this event was about for me?
You know, a few things. So we did the Robbie Miller WOD.
Okay.
During the event. And I don't know if you're familiar with Robbie Miller. He's a Medal of Honor recipient, but their GORUCK was having a heavy in his honor for a few years. And I was lucky enough to do it last year, but we did that WOD as one of the things we did during the event. And Robbie's actually buried not too far from where our start point was. Mm-hmm. So a few of us got together after, and since I had been to his gravesite when we did the heavy, I was able to show them where it was, and a few of us went out and paid our respects. So it was kind of nice, you know, Battle of the Bulge being, you know, part of a different war, and he died in another one, you know, kind of bringing the past and the more recent present, you know.
Yeah. And man, talk about a way to like really bring a connection to something. Like it's no longer just a workout or a WOD that you do, but like to be able to stand there and at the graveside of the man that you honored. I mean, that's a pretty somber, not somber is not the word, but like pretty special moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, let's see. For you, this should be an interesting question, I feel like, just because of the breadth of things that you do. Like, what does training look like for you? Like, when you've got a GORUCK coming up, like, do you dial back the running and focus more on rucking, or are you just all over the place all the time, full throttle? Talk about your training a little bit. Hey gang, so there are a ton of training programs out there for GORUCK events. I mean, heck, even GORUCK has its own training program, SRT. But none of these programs are free. Well, since 2017, the Ruckin Collective has offered free training guides for the GORUCK Heavy, Tough, and Light, which is now called Basic. And we've offered these as a resource for the Ruckin community. So, if you're looking for some help to get started with training for a GORUCK event, just visit ruck.training today and download one of our free guides and use it as it's written, or modify it to meet the needs that you have specifically for your training goals. All right, with that, let's get back to chatting with Dawn.
So when I'm hot and heavy into GORUCK events, I definitely do less running. And when it's, you know, when I'm running focused, I'll run more. When I'm triathlon focused, I'll absolutely be on the bike and the swimming more. Right now, I'm a little more GORUCK and OCR focused. I've got a couple other events coming up. So I kind of split the running and the rucking. So it's 4 days of running and usually 2 days of rucking, plus the strength training and the PT and, you know, mobility and that sort of thing. So I work out a lot. I love it. I have so much fun with it. So,
yeah. Well, I think you have to at that level of commitment that you know, with all the different scope and variety, like you've got to love it, or else, gosh, that would be really miserable, right? With all that you're trying to do, if you didn't absolutely love it, it would be pretty rough.
Yeah, you got a good point there. Yeah, I do love it.
So as somebody who's got a breadth of experience, like if you were to, or even thinking about like some of the newer folks at Vice City Ruck Club, like they're looking at getting into rucking and maybe doing a GORUCK event. Like what's your advice for them? Like as they're getting started.
Ruck, you know, put some weight in that bag and spend some time on your feet, you know, and it doesn't have to be anything crazy. No one's asking you to go out and ruck 20 miles at a time, but you know, a couple times a week, put that ruck on, show up for, you know, Saturday or Sunday when we host a workout, you know, get some push-ups in, some squats in for sure, but you know, don't overthink it, you know, pack what's on the packing list and show up. We're a team. We all work together.
Definitely pack everything on the list. Like,
yeah,
good grief. Like the most basic of things, like so many events, like you're at roll call and they're like, all right, get out your ID. And you know, inevitably some dude's like, oh, it's in my car.
It's in the car. Yeah. Always.
Oh, and now we're going to start doing PT. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah. Ruck overhead, hold the bottom of a squat. Yeah.
Oh goodness. So speaking of ruck overhead, holding the bottom of a squat, you know, GORUCK's new theme for this year is Seek Pain. And so do you feel like that Seek Pain mantra was present in the Battle of the Bulge event that you did? And like, what did Seeking Pain look like in that event?
Well, I'm going to say absolutely. So as I mentioned, we did the Robbie Miller WOD, mm-hmm. which is quite a workout in and of itself. Immediately after, our next evolution was something called called prison burpees, mm-hmm. where we split into teams of three. And if you picture a baseball diamond, At home plate, you had to do one burpee. And then at first base, you had to do a burpee. At third base, you had to do a burpee. Mm-hmm. And when you got back to home plate, you had to do two. Mm. And then two at first and two at third and three and then four. And we went up to 18 burpees.
Mm.
And for those that don't want to do that math.
No, I don't.
It was 685 burpees with our rucks on.
Ooh.
And then to make it a little more painful, each of our teams of three had to carry a 100-pound sandbag to each base every time.
Mm, yep.
So if you want to seek some pain, that is how you do it.
I got tired just thinking about that. Like, that is an insane amount of work.
Yes. Yes.
Like, I don't want to do that, Dawn.
No, you don't. Oh, and then you know what we did? So at the very end, we might have even been patched at that point. I'm not sure. We did 15 more burpees so we could say we got the 700 in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, at that point, who cares anymore?
Exactly.
Like, so, like, mentally, I think it's always interesting to hear how people face that, because I mean, that's just a ton of work. And so how do you approach that? And I guess it makes sense. I mean, you're used to doing things that last a long time and are painful. So what's your approach to, like, enduring all this long pain?
So for me, I just focus on what's happening right now. So whether it's mile one of an ultra or burpee number one from that 18 times three,
mm-hmm.
You know, I look at it as, this is your life now. Now you have to do a burpee.
Hmm.
And then the next one, now you have to do one more. And I only worry about what I'm doing in that moment. Because if you look and say, oh my gosh, I got to do this X number of times, or I still have to run 35 more miles, or I'm not going to be done until, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you'll just bury yourself with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I like that. And I feel like I try and apply that, but I also, like, I can't shut the part of my brain off that's like, yeah, but like the whole eat the elephant one bite at a time,
right?
Like, staying in the moment, looking in, right in front of you. But in the back of my mind, I still know, like, yeah, there's still just a crap ton of work to do. So for you, like, you're like, does that, in the middle of it, like, is that popping up in the back of your head, or is it literally like, just, all right, what's next? Oh, 10 burpees. Let's go.
So when that kind of creeps in, that's where I use my mantra of, this is your life now.
Okay.
This is your life now. You're going to do burpees until it's done. It's eventually going to be done, but
right,
this is your life now. And I use that all the time. I tell people that all the time. I stole that from a blog I read before I was even into these really long events. And I thought that was fantastic. You know, your feet hurt. Okay, well, this is your life now.
That's good. I like that. And as you said that, like, it even reminded me, I hadn't really noticed why I was doing it, but I think that's it. Like, you know, like, running in the gym, like, I'm a tall, lanky dude. I'm, like, built to run, and I just hate it, but I can do it, and I can do it pretty well. And at the gym, sometimes when we have, like, mile runs or whatever, like, the mantra that has just appeared recently is, this is what you do. Like, you run long and hard, and it hurts.
Exactly.
Like, this is what you do.
Right.
I don't think I've ever applied that, like, in the moment of, like, a GoRuck event or something like that. So I'll definitely have to pull that one out next time. Yeah, this, so what was yours? It was,
this is your life now.
This is your life now.
This is your life now. That sandbag is heavy. This is your life now.
Oh, I love it. There's such a simplicity and a beauty to it. Like, this is it. This is life. Oh, that's so great, Dawn. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Just looking at some of the questions that I jotted down, this is actually something I haven't asked anybody yet. And I was like, man, I should be asking this more. Like, when it comes to GORUCK events, because I'm like, I have some answers, and so I want to hear what other people have. Like, is there, like, an event food that you will pack 100% of the time?
Skittles.
Skittles.
Skittles or gummy bears. I always have either Skittles or gummy bears on me.
Okay. Those are kind of different, though. Like, you know, the Skittles are they kind of make your mouth all full of that, like, thick saliva and everything, and the gummy bears are just going down. So that's interesting that you kind of go in two different directions there with the snack.
Well, I do it more for something to share.
Oh, you know? There you go.
Want some Skittles? You know, people are kind of getting down, and you want a handful of candy.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Somebody had said that idea, like, you know, I always share whatever I have, but somebody had said something one time about, like, they had packed like a pound of cooked bacon and took it with them. And so I was like, dude, that's the most fantastic thing I've ever heard. Like, that's caring for your team right there. And so I had done it for an event. I cooked up a pound of bacon, put it in my ruck, you know, and we're in the middle of the night and everybody's all tired and grumpy and whatnot. And I was like, this is it. This is the moment. And so I busted out and I was like, hey, who wants bacon? And it was like crickets.
Like, oh my God, really?
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I was like, there was one dude who was like, oh, I'll have a slice or a piece. And I was like, okay, I gotta find what that magic snack is to
I might have tackled you for some bacon.
I know. I thought it was the greatest thing ever, but I guess I was with a bunch of vegetarians or something. I don't know. That's fun. That's fun. Yeah, I love the taking a snack to share. Like, I think.
Yeah.
I look back to one of my early events, and there was a moment, you know, real low moment, and somebody was like, hey man, you want some M&Ms? And I mean, they were the best freaking M&Ms I ever had in my life. But you know, it's about that caring for your team, you know, the team
exactly,
above yourself.
Yeah.
So there you go, folks. Make sure when you pack your snacks, they're not just for you. Pack snacks for everybody. Cool. Any other tips that you have for somebody looking to do an event? You know, they're on the fence and they're like, I don't think I can do this. Like, you know, this just maybe isn't something that I can accomplish. Like, somebody in your ruck club, you know, maybe they've done a couple of lights and they're like, oh no, I could never be like you, Dawn. I couldn't, you know, you do the death race. Like, I can't do what you can do. Like, what's your word to that person?
Well, I would tell them I'm not very bright, obviously, but you know, people don't realize a lot how much of a team event it is. And it's not your team. It is a team. You don't need to know anybody when you show up. The first probably 8 or 9 events I did, I didn't really know anybody, but I remind them how much of a team event it is. And you're not always going to be carrying that sandbag, and you know, you can always ask for help and look to your left and your right and see people who are going through the same thing you are.
Mm.
And to not overthink it, you know, just show up with the gear list, but just show up.
Just do it. That's awesome. So final question that I'm now, after talking to you for a little bit, super intrigued in, like, what's like the next thing? So you said at the very beginning, like, you were always looking for the next thing. It was a 5K and then it was a 10K marathon. Next thing, you're at a death race. Like, where do you go from here, Dawn? Like, what is that next thing for you?
So for me, the next thing is to complete a 100-mile ultra
Ooh.
Marathon. I attempted it in December. I made it 45 miles and got really, really sick and couldn't finish. So I'm looking at November for my completion of a 100 miler.
That is freaking awesome. Well, I wish you all the best in that and all your training and everything that's going to go into that, all the sacrifice that you'll make. And hey, you know, when you get out there, it's just your life now.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thanks a ton for coming on the podcast, and I'm sure we'll talk again someday. Hey y'all. So, I was right, right? I mean, Dawn's pretty much a beast. For me, it's so inspiring to talk to folks like Dawn. It genuinely makes me want to go and find and do really challenging things. So, thanks a ton for that, Dawn. If you'd like to see some show notes or a transcript for the episode, and maybe some links to things that we talked about, you can visit us at underthelog.com. If you've happened to subscribe to our podcast on one of those fancy services that lets you leave reviews, it would mean a lot to us if you dropped a positive review in there. We'd appreciate that. Finally, if you want to connect on the social media, visit us at underthelog.com, and you can find links to where you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and all those different places. So we'd love to connect with you over there. Well, that's it for me, gang. I will see you next time under the log.